It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're early into the new year, and that means we're all getting back into our routines after the holidays. Students are back in their classrooms, adults are back in the office, but as all that's happening, a pandemic is lingering in the background. 2023 marks 3 years since COVID-19 became a part of our lives. There's now another variant making its way across the country. XBB.1.5, what some scientists on Twitter informally dubbed the Kraken variant, is to blame for a rise in cases on the East Coast. And as these things go, it's continuing to spread. This year, this winter, we've also seen an additional spike in cases of flu and RSV, forcing hospitals to have to balance those cases against COVID as well. Joining us now to talk about the latest information on these three infectious diseases, as well as to learn more about the new COVID-19 variant, is Dr. Vithya Sundaresan, the Chief of Infectious Diseases at the Southern Illinois University School of Medicine, also a medical advisor for the Sangamon County Department of Public Health. Dr. Sundaresan, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you for inviting me.
And listeners, as ever, we want to invite you to join our conversation. If you have questions about this new COVID-19 variant or just want to talk about the precautions you may or may not be taking, 800-222-9455 is the number to call. 800-222-9455. So let's begin with hospitalizations. How are hospitals across Illinois doing right now?
So, with the data from the Northeast, which is where we're seeing a lot of the XBB 1.5 prevalence, the hospitalizations had significantly risen almost to the same levels at what was seen in January of 2022. I was just reading this morning that the admissions, hospitalizations in seniors especially, is somewhat stabilizing in the Northeast. So we're taking that as a marker because that's where the XBB strain has actually been highest in the country.
And so you mentioned elderly patients. What about the flu and RSV? Are those cases still going into hospitals, or is that backing down from the peaks we saw a month or two ago?
It's significantly decreasing. So both RSV and flu numbers are coming down. In November and December, RSV numbers and flu numbers were high, actually starting end of September when we started to see an increase in those numbers. COVID actually was in the background in that time. But now we're seeing that RSV numbers are coming down, flu numbers are coming down, and COVID numbers have started to spike again. However, this is seasonality-wise too. This is what you would typically expect with flu and RSV too, for those numbers to come back. We see a bimodal peak with flu, influenza A rises first, and then towards January, February, we may see another peak with influenza B. So that's something that we're intently looking at. But on the whole, influenza numbers and RSV numbers are coming down, and COVID seems to be increasing a little bit.
And just to be clear, if somebody got the flu back in November or December, does that mean all clear for the rest of flu season, or is that something they still need to be conscious of, trying to prevent?
Well, getting the flu shot definitely helps prevent. But if they've gotten infection from one type of influenza, they could get influenza from another type too. So that's something still to be careful about and, keeping up our guard.
What is the reason for the spike in cases this year, as far as your best understanding, right? I think we all have gotten used to the holidays come, and then there's a big COVID spike after that. But some of this seemed to even precede the holiday season this year.
That's correct. So with the current strain XBB, we had seen that there were some signs of this evolving right from spring. This is a little different in terms of it's taken its time. It's a stepwise mutation where it incorporates a fusion of two different Omicron type of viruses, the BA2. So with the fusion, it kind of makes this more evasive to the immune system. So we were seeing that that had actually started to increase. The XBB had started to increase. So that's more transmissible, which is leading to that increase actually starting before the holidays. But with the holidays, the cold weather, indoor gathering, all that kind of, and travel, all that seems to have made this increase a little bit more pronounced.
Are the COVID vaccines and the boosters still effective against this new variant?
Yeah, so, you know, mutations and variants are not new with COVID, and actually in viruses in general, whenever there is viral replication, there's always a chance for mutation. And we've seen that abundantly with COVID. Some epidemiologists refer to this as a swarm of variants with COVID and viruses. So it's not new that we see variants, but what do we gauge when we see these new variants? Three things are important: to see how contagious it is and how severe the disease is, whether it's more severe or less severe than what we have been seeing with the circulating strains. And then lastly, how effective are they to the treatments and vaccines? What we are seeing with the current strains, and when I say current, I'm talking mainly about XBB, although we are not seeing much XBB here in Midwest, and I'll come to that, a strain is actually more transmissible, does not cause very severe disease, but the current treatments and current vaccinations do seem to be effective against the strain. So there is some cross protection, although the ancestral strain or the bivalent vaccine that we have does not really have the specific antigen for XBB. It is believed to confer cross protection for XBB as well. And then the treatments that we have available, the oral medication still seems to be effective against the newer variants.
This is the Paxlovid. And yeah, I'm still, yeah. Okay, so let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Dr. Vithya Sundaresan, who is Chief of Infectious Diseases at SIU School of Medicine in Springfield, also a medical advisor at the Sangamon County Department of Public Health. We're talking about the latest variant with COVID and also flu and RSV in Illinois. If you want to join our conversation, about 8 minutes left with Dr. Sundaresan, I think, 800-222-9455 is the number to join us today, 800-222-9455. We asked members of our texting group about this, and Anne in Urbana said, wondering if there will come a time when a booster would cover all variants of COVID. I've had all the vaccines and boosters so far, but being honest, I'm getting weary of getting yet another shot. Dr. Sundaresan, can you talk about that sort of vaccine or booster fatigue? Are we where does the future lie in terms of the sort of, I mean, is this going to be like the flu where we have to get a shot every year or encouraged to get a shot every year?
Yeah, you know, there's more and more data emerging on that. How long does the immunity last? That's actually the biggest question. Once you get a shot, does it last for 4 to 5 months? Does it last longer? And with the newer variants that do come up, is there cross protection? Do you have to take another vaccine like we have seen with the bivalent? We are seeing that there is a fair amount of cross protection that is available right now with the bivalent vaccines, and also how long the neutralizing antibodies last. We may very well have something like the flu vaccine with respiratory viruses. That is a phenomena. Mutation variants are commonly seen. So in all likelihood, we may be having an annual vaccine, but you know, with the data that comes up, we'll have to see how effective and how long the efficacy lasts.
You know, neutralizing antibodies, you use that phrase, and without getting too far into the weeds, but I think we can talk a little bit of the science here. Our listeners are smart. That's the sort of the immediate protection, right? Keeps you from infection. But there are other forms of the immune system, right? T cells, B cells, that that are still showing good protection, right? Despite the variants that we've had, and they may, this is what keeps people from really getting seriously ill and having to be hospitalized and the ventilators and things like that that we saw in the first year of COVID.
That's correct. So with the immediate protection and the memory that's confirmed from B cells and T cell responses, we are in fact protected a lot longer. And combined with natural immunity from people that may have acquired infection with as a breakthrough after getting the vaccine or even without getting the vaccine. But, you know, with vaccine and natural natural infection, the amount of antibody response is much higher too. These are all mechanisms the body has in terms of conferring protection. And that coupled with mitigation strategies, washing hands, masking if you're at risk, and the mitigation strategies when there is a surge. These are some of the things that we can do. Air filtration, ventilation, these are some of the things that we can definitely focus on.
We also got a text from Adam in Springfield who wanted to know about combination tests. I know the Postal Service is still mailing out COVID tests for people. What can you say about that in terms of, I guess, this is like home testing, right? And I mean, will we soon be able to test for flu and other things as we can do for COVID now?
Unfortunately, the tests that are available, the rapid tests for flu and RSV, there's really nothing available at home. But, you know, we don't have very good tests for that. But we do COVID tests, rapid tests are fairly good. We're hoping at some point we are able to have these, poly tests where you can test for many, many viruses and with just one single swab. That would be something to look for in the future. But as of now, the ones that are available for a flu are not that effective. COVID rapid tests are by far the best.
Okay, so in the time we have remaining, is there anything else you can tell us about this XBB.1.5? Again, some people have called this the Kraken variant. I don't know how you feel about that phraseology. I've seen some scientists saying they think that's fear-mongering. You know, is this something where people need to be particularly concerned, or, you know, just keep doing the things we've been doing, right? Ventilation, wear a mask in a crowded space, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think we need to continue to do what we're doing. Nature had a publication that said we need to be wary of COVID complacency in 2023. So just continue to do what we are doing. If you've always been wearing a mask, if you have any risk factors, you have immunocompromised individuals at home, continue to do that. If there's already the families going out a lot, mingling a lot, and still taking care of hand washing and other mitigations that we can do at home to prevent infections, continue to do that. So we need to watch carefully in terms of making sure we don't overwhelm the hospital. That's really the biggest issue when we have variants that cause a lot of disease by being extensively transmissible. So that's really what we need to watch out for in terms of the implications of the virus.
We also got a question from Anne in East Peoria who said, I've never had symptoms nor tested positive. I feel like an outlier based on all the media coverage, but I wonder if there are any data on the percent of the population like me. So how about that, Dr. Sundaresan? Do you still encounter people? Is it common to have people or very, very rare that people would be never have encountered the COVID virus?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have a fair share of people who've never had COVID. There are many terms actually to describe people like that. The general understanding is CDC has looked at blood specimens to look for antibodies to see how many people have actually had COVID. And there are also, baseline antibody testing to see people who've never been symptomatic, never think they've had COVID, to see how many actually did have COVID. We do have a good amount of our population that has antibody protection, either from vaccination or natural infection. So if somebody has never had symptoms and they are vaccinated, you could consider them to have reasonably good antibody protections as well. But yeah, there are a fair number of people who've evaded this. And, I think they are, in fact, a group that we can look to see what their practices have been. So that would be interesting as well.
Yeah, fair enough. Just about a minute remaining. We did get a question from James in Champaign, wanted to know about, he says, I know people love talking about the triple demic, but isn't RSV only a serious issue for very young children and those that care for them?
In fact, we have seen a lot of adults with advanced age or other risk factors, immunocompromised individuals, get admitted to the hospital with RSV. So it pretty much poses the same risk for admission with advanced age and immunocompromising conditions as we saw with the children as well. That's also that this time we were checking more intently for RSV. So we don't know if that was already the case, and we're picking that up a lot more. But yes, we did identify that a lot more in adults this time around.
Well, great information as always, Dr. Vidya Sundaresan from the SIU School of Medicine. Thank you so much for making the time to be with us again on the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about an effort that launched here in Illinois 10 years ago. It was called, at the time, a battery moonshot. We're going to hear how that's been going in the decade hence. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.